Well, good morning, everyone. I see a theme here. It's called Hebrews. You know, I was praying about this morning and trying to, you know, it's always a frightening thing for me, I guess, to get up here and have to speak a word of the Lord, and or, you know, because I look at myself and I see that old man, that unbelief, that doubt, and thinking that the Lord could ever use me in many ways. And fear, actually, it's fear. So I know that as we learn and as we grow, we have to get past that and recognize that God can use us to accomplishment of His will. So anyway, I was looking at this, and I wanted to go to Hebrews 6:1. You know, and this kind of brought up to me this week. Steve had mentioned something to someone, and it brought back kind of a same sort of situation. And I'll explain that after I get done reading this. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. As Megan said, I remember when, you know, I accepted the Lord. Oh, gosh, it was a wonderful thing for years and years and years of joy, and I saw the way the Lord moved. Okay. I was grateful for what the Lord had done for me. But one thing I never understood is, what did it mean to move on to perfection? How many times do we see people who accept the Lord and they live in that bubble? I call it a bubble, okay? They live in the bubble, and then all of a sudden, they're starting to have to be pushed towards perfection. And what is that perfection? You know, what is that perfection? I know for myself, when I look at that, I'm like, okay, that perfection is learning to put off the flesh and the things of the earth and looking your sights fully on Jesus. Now, I know when I was in that bubble, you know, Lord, I love you, and, you know, it was true. But, gosh, I really don't like this person. You know, Lord, I love you. But, boy, I hate that guy. And, okay, and I'm not talking about people in the church, okay? I'm talking about people in the church, but I'm talking about people, too. You know, if you look at Jesus and you look at what he did, he was perfect in his love. He loved everyone. If he didn't, he wouldn't have died for us. Well, I take that back. He hated Esau. Jacob, he loved. Esau, he hated. Okay, but the point is that he did perfect love in what was right for that person. Now, I look at myself and I see others. How often do we have a tendency to focus on what is doing? I know it's easy for me to see your faults, but it's not easy to see my own faults, or I should say, I conveniently ignore my, you know, it's the mote and the beam. You know, we sit there and we devour each other and we tear apart, and we don't recognize that there may be a reason for what's going on. You know, we look at Samson. I can almost guarantee you the people of Israel were looking at Samson going, oh my God, who the hell does he think he is? He's a whoremonger. But Samson was doing exactly what God had called him to do. You know, you look at the faith chapter, I mean, he talks about Gideon. Gideon did what the Lord did, but you also see some errors in his ways. You look at Jephthah, Is that pronounced right? Jeff. Okay, the guy who sacrificed his daughter after a battle. But you know, the thing that we know about that, those three that I mentioned, is if they weren't faithful, they would not be recorded in Hebrews. But they are. So we know that they were faithful and they accomplished the Lord's will in spite of their shortcomings. And see, that's what we do. We look at each other and we say, oh my God, look at that shortcoming, or look at this, or look at that. But we don't recognize that the grace of God covers us. We have to have that perfection to recognize that it is Jesus who makes that covering, and he brings us to that point of perfection if we allow ourselves. I know that when I've been, how long I've been here, 25 years, I think. I can't count the number of people who've come into this ministry and left. I can count the number of people who've stayed, but I can't count the number of people who've left. You know, they get upset at one another. They get offended and they leave. And you see it way too often because they don't want to acknowledge that the problem that they have is their own. And I know I was talking to someone the other day, and he was saying, boy, you can't think about the number of times I went to hop in my car and just drive away. I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I know that feeling. But really, in the end, where would I go? What would I do? You know, the fear, that fear of cutting myself off from the body of Christ kept me here. And the thing I have to learn is on that perfection is not to look at what I see before me on a person for myself, but looking at what the Lord sees and what he is going to do with another. So let me keep on going here. For it is impossible for those that were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, this is the thing that always got me. This is the thing that really kind of was the wake-up call for me. Davy said, the way we die is the way we enter into heaven. That's why that mark of perfection is so important. I had a problem with someone in the ministry for a while, believe it or not. And I remember, you know, we couldn't be in the same room together, really. And Steve said, he goes, what are you going to do in heaven? I said, Steve, I really hope heaven's a really big place and I don't ever have to see them. Now, I don't know what heaven's like. I'm sure that's not going to be the case, especially if we're all of the Church of Philadelphia, which is my hope. And I recognize that really the problem, it wasn't her problem or my, it was my problem. And if I'm not willing to let go of the things that I thought were an offense to me, what's going to happen when I enter into heaven? And I see that person, and all of a sudden, I sin, and there is no grace in heaven. See, that perfection there is for us to learn to let go of the things of the flesh, to let go and to believe the Word of God. You know, I don't want to get to heaven, or first of all, well, you know, I don't want to get to heaven and be cast out. And I cannot imagine the first guy that got to heaven and is going to be cast out. Personally, that would be pretty scary. I mean, oh my God, did you see Joe? Not Joe, there, but did you see whoever they sinned? They're gone. You know, when I look at us, and I know that the Lord is moving on us as a body, I know that the Lord is moving because I am seeing attitudes being examined and attitudes being recognized for what they are. You know, the Lord is calling together a body. And he said that they'll know you're my disciples, your love one for another. And that's what separates the Church of Philadelphia, their love one for another. And I know that when you look at people like Samson or people like Gideon, there probably wasn't a lot of love toward Samson in the spiritual love by the people of Israel. I mean, let's look at it. The elders of Israel were willing to turn him over to appease the Philistines. We need to learn to love and to look through the filter of the grace of God. Because if we can't do that here, we're deceiving ourselves if we can do it there. I know that when you look at the churches, you know, there are seven churches. The Church of Philadelphia is the only church that did not have to go through the tribulation. And it was because of their love one for another. The other seven churches, or six churches, thank you, Megan, the other six churches had to go through the tribulation. They had to go through that because they didn't have perfect love before that. I don't want to be one of those six churches. Personally, I'm adverse to pain. I'm adverse to that sort of thing. But I know that where we are at, we have to let go of the attitudes and the judgments of others. The only thing that judges us, that we're to be judged by, is the Word of God. And that judgment we know is true. And that judgment we know is just. And like Megan said, you know, I think of how blessed and how blessed we are. They didn't have the written Word of God 500 years ago and before. The Hebrews had the written word, but it was in scrolls that the average person couldn't access. But we have it. We have that word as a lamp and as a guide to show us what Jesus did and how Jesus loves. And I know there's a lot of turmoil, but the nice thing about that turmoil is it boils up the impurities of who we are and the things of the flesh, that we can examine them for what they are and we can get rid of them and recognize the work that the Lord is doing. And I look forward to that. And I'm seeing that mightily throughout the church. And my hope is that the churches out there go away from what they've been doing and they look to that perfection.